Hello, folks, and welcome to Chapter 3 of Social Problems, A Human Rights Perspective. The chapter is entitled American Inequality and the Rights to Speech and Democracy. We will start out by talking about, subject of pluralism, which is mentioned at the very beginning of Chapter 3. Pluralism is based on the idea that to live in a democratic society means that one needs to respect a variety of points of view. In other words, if I have free speech myself, then I have to be willing to give free speech to others. If I am willing to organize to get my own political views before a legislative body like the Congress or like a state legislature, then I have to be willing to tolerate other people, even people that I sharply disagree with, to do the same. So pluralism means that there is not simply one point of view, one position, one ideology, or to use the common language, one worldview that is accepted by everybody in society, that people need to accept the legitimacy or at least the ability of other points of view to be expressed in the public sphere and not to have any kinds of reservations about that. That's what pluralism is. That is one of the main things which distinguishes a democratic republic from a dictatorship, from an autocracy or a totalitarian regime. Dictatorships tend to be very resistant to other perspectives and want to control public opinion. One of the ways they do that is by eliminating a free press. In any democracy, a free press is supported as one of the major ways to maintain pluralism in a society. Political action committees, sometimes called PACs, P-A-C-S. Political action committees are basically lobbies or groups of people who come together with a common agenda to try to push their view forward into legislation. So, for example, the National Rifle Association has a PAC. The union which I belong to at Johnson County Community College, the National Education Association, which happens to be the largest union in the United States, also has a PAC. Various groups representing gay rights, women's rights, the rights of various disabled populations, such as the deaf, people with various intellectual disabilities, etc., can also have PACs or political action committees. Social welfare groups, on the other hand, are groups that are specifically organized to provide assistance or help to needy populations. So, during a pandemic, for example, social welfare groups, like the Red Cross, for example, will work together to try to provide food and clothing and housing and medical care and perhaps even other services to people who need them. That often happens, for instance, in times of a major hurricane or a pandemic or a tornado that wipes out an entire town. So social welfare groups are designed to offer assistance to those populations in times when they need assistance. The difference between personal corruption and institutional corruption, also referred to in the chapter, is an important one, but sometimes they interface with one another, meaning sometimes they overlap in various ways. Let's start with personal corruption. Personal corruption is where a particular individual has engaged in corrupt behavior and is therefore perhaps arrested and tried and in some cases sent to prison. If people break the law, if people do things that are unethical, if people use their access to banks and the financial sector to profit for themselves, that would be personal corruption. Laws on insider trading. If I am somebody who has insider knowledge of the stock market, and I use that knowledge to buy and sell stocks, that is illegal, and that is also personal corruption. Institutional corruption is where you see corruption operating on a much broader scale. Here you have an entire organization or an entire agency or in some cases an entire government that is engaging in various types of corruption. For example, the government of Russia has periodically assassinated people that have disagreed with their policies. The government of Iran has periodically arrested people and held them for long periods without charging them, as a matter of course. Some people have argued that Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, Camp Gitmo, operated by the United States, where people are being held there that are not going to be charged, but they are still being held at that detention camp in Gitmo, is a type of institutional corruption. So institutional corruption exists all over the world. It can be found in many organizations, many agencies, many communities, and in many governments as well. The idea of striking a balance between political rights in American society is a rather difficult one. For instance, the right to bear arms has been interpreted rather broadly by the U.S. Supreme Court. The right to free speech has also been interpreted rather broadly by the U.S. Supreme Court. So what happens if people show up with guns at a polling station when people are voting? Something which does happen. What do? You have the right to bear arms that is clashing with the right to free speech, and voting is a form of free speech or free expression. So governments sometimes have to figure out some way to balance the various rights which are given to people under its set of laws. That concludes the lecture on Chapter 3. We will continue with Chapter 4 next time.